From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's July the 9th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell. He's with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the G8 is calling for an end to export tariffs on food. And a bureaucrat at the Commerce Department says ignoring the free trade agreement negotiated by President Bush could push South Korea closer to China. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then we'll hear how the high price of corn and the high waters are having an impact on the dairy industry. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, in just about 26 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat futures at $8.14, down 9 1/4. September soft red settled at $8.25 3/4. 10 3/4 lower in December futures in the wheat pit. 10.5 cents lower from Chicago at $8.49 1/4. Kansas City wheat settled to July down a dime at $8.39. July corn futures down 9 3/4 cents in Chicago at $6.83. September at $6.94 3/4, 9 3/4 lower. And December futures down 9 3/4 at $7.12 3/4. March corn futures from the CME Group, $7.29 3/4. A dime and a quarter lower. July soybean futures, $15.78, up 17 cents for the day. August up 23 at $15.72. And September futures, $15.64 3/4, 26 3/4 higher on the afternoon. November soybeans at $15.57, up 27 1/2. July bean meal at $4.35.50, up 10.40. July bean oil, $63.78. up 40 for the day. August live cattle futures, 102.55, up 45. August feeders at 112.90, up $1.37.5. And the July lean hog futures gained 87.5 cents today to settle at 72.67.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. August crude oil futures at $136.40, 36 cents higher. September futures at $136.70, down 3 cents a barrel. August ethanol futures, $2.72 8/10, down 2/10. September at $2.71 4/10, 3 6/10 lower. And the heating oil trading the August contract at $3.84 3/10, up 2 2/10. September at $3.87 9/10, up 1 9/10 for the day. Natural gas at $11.97 8/10, up 39 cents, or rather down 39 cents at this hour. August propane futures are trading. They're currently at $1.91 1/2. Gold futures trading the July futures at $927.30 an ounce, up $5.40. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands 137 points lower at 11,245 for the day. The U.S. dollar at 72.61 is down 0.4 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 450.05 is up 2 even. Here's the weather forecast from our own Daniel Pounder. He says tonight across the two-state region, Illinois and Indiana, will be partly cloudy, some patchy fog. Lows will range from 60 in the north to 66 in the south. Tomorrow, Mr. Pounder says, mostly sunny, a little less humid. Highs will range tomorrow from 83 in the north to 88 in the south. The winds from the southwest to south at 5 to 10 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidity, very low, between 30 and 40%. The extended forecast calls for the next significant chance of rain to occur Saturday, and then it'll be quiet with pleasant conditions Sunday through Tuesday of next week. Heat should build into the Midwest during the 7 to 14 day period from July 16th through the 23rd, but we'll see plenty of opportunities for scattered down thunderstorms along the way.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. Always nice to talk to you on this very warm, humid afternoon in early July.
In a warm, humid early afternoon, but pretty good growing conditions for a corn crop, I would think.
Excellent. We are hearing the word tasseling in parts of our listening area, and it looks like it'll be, if it does happen and when it happens here in the next 2 weeks, under ideal growing conditions.
Now, tell me a little bit about what you think producers should have been doing or might want to do as they look at a marketplace that has dropped over the past several days pretty substantially, though it appears that there has been some support found at least in the soybeans.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we just got 20 pounds of buy-sell pads in today to make sure we have enough ability to take the orders as they flow in, and we've been extremely busy. What should you do? Well, it's my opinion, like I said on Commodity Week, that it's time to have taken profits in long old corn, and that's in the cash market. Mm-hmm. And as far as new crop sales are concerned, Bassey is at least talking about the word 735 on new crop corn. The scary part here is nobody really knows what energy is going to do, and corn is a big part of the energy program, short-term and long-term in the United States, as people convert corn into ethanol. It's a good commodity, good product, and it helps balance the equation. The other factor that is basically we're watching very carefully is the weather forecast. The weather forecaster we have the most confidence in basically says, it's ideal growing conditions. The rain makes grain growing theory in the Midwest. And, yes, some of our friends have too much rain in some places in the last couple of days. But as a rule, it's great growing conditions. The second thing that we're looking at is it's a little scary is this stagflation in which the world economies are slowing down. There's even talk about another stimulus package, but it's not fun to see the stock market go down and price of crude oil making it rough on our consumers. But at the same time, corn probably should be, old crop corn should be sold, whereas beans, we are bullish old crop beans, and the real factor here is that there is so much demand. The Argentine is not a good supplier of soybeans anymore with their government problems, and the world is coming to Brazil and the U.S. here as the reliable supplier, and chances are on this supply-demand report, stocks report here, the supply-demand report, we're going to see a very tight carryover on old crop soybeans. So we're still bullish old beans, and to some extent that will help keep new crop beans from going down too much in the longer term.
Well, let me see if I've got this right. So I think I've got it right, that on new and old, new crop corn and soybeans both, you would stand aside if you're a hedger in the marketplace, but if you want to play, that's what brokers do.
And sell some new crop corn maybe up in the 735 area. I'll go along with
okay.
that.
Okay, with Dan Bossy on that one. And then on the old crop corn, you're going to make sales.
I'd be sold out.
You'd be sold out on old crop corn. And if you've got beans to play with yet, you're going to hold them.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we got it all covered across the board there. What are you doing with livestock?
Well, driving to work at a very, very early a.m. hour, I listened to Chris Hurt talk about how bullish long-term cattle are and how much pain the poor cattleman has gone through. And our general impression is that he's probably right on, and at some point in time, the cattle prices are going to go up substantially in price. The problem is, of course, with high-priced fuel, some of those better cuts of meat will only be consumed probably by the rich and famous, and the average consumer is going to pass on the ribeyes and fillets. I think the big question here is you know, how to balance a checkbook, and it's going to be, unfortunately, pretty hard for a lot of our consumers unless, you know, there's some tremendous energy policy and changes in Washington, you know, wind power, oil to diesel, more drilling and drilling worldwide, and hopefully we can find some good energy sources, because if not, you know, the standard of living of everyone is going to be kind of taxed and pinched to a great deal. Pickens, of course, is pushing this natural gas and propane idea, which is probably lucrative. It's awful hard to go down the road with a big LP bottle back of your car.
No, I don't know. I did it for a lot of years. I have a good story for you, actually.
Okay.
I don't get to tell this one very often. So when I turned 16, Dad bought a pickup truck, and he said, "This is yours on the weekend. Keep it clean." And he put a propane tank in the back of it. That was in 1980, and that propane tank is still in the back of that truck, and that truck still runs, and the oil still comes out of it clean, and he's never done anything to the engine.
You only change the oil in it twice a year.
Yeah. Well, he changed it probably every 3,000 miles, but it did a heck of a job, and we had a couple of LP Oliver 1850s on the farm, and they both still run pretty well,
too. The only thing I can remember from some of our neighbors that had LP tractors, they were hard to start in the wintertime, and they always went a little slower through the field.
Well, you know, if you don't get it set right, I remember this vividly, too. Either you got better mileage or you got more power, and Dad set it for mileage. And in a good headwind when we first got that pickup truck, it wouldn't go more than 55 mile an hour.
You didn't deserve to drive any faster either,
Doug. Probably not. He was just trying to keep his insurance down. Anything else to let you know?
Well,
let us know
I think
about?
The big thing here is that, you know, a comment was made this morning about the soybeans. You know, I'm still of the opinion that the bean acreage will inch up just a little bit. And, you know, it's a long growing season for soybeans, and they're full of surprises and a pretty hardy crop. And I am a little bearish wheat. I think wheat is still flat price too high. The basis will bring the futures down.
All right. Thanks much, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, leaders from the G8 summit meeting, including the U.S., yesterday called on countries that have export controls on food to end them, but stopped short of criticizing biofuels as a source of food price increases. The Renewable Fuels Association was quick to praise the statement, saying the G8 clearly understands the need to develop, produce, and use renewable fuels like ethanol. An undersecretary at the U.S. Commerce Department says the refusal of congressional Democrats to take up and approve a free trade deal with South Korea could push Seoul economically closer to China. Chris Padilla says it's, quote, inexcusable and not the way to treat an ally, that Congress has not even held one hearing on the FTA, which was negotiated by the Bush administration over a year ago. Two farm state lawmakers are urging USDA to write strict eligibility rules for farm subsidies as the administration implements the 2008 Farm Bill. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan sent a letter to USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer a letter Grassley calls a statement of managers.
This includes the rules and regulations for the disaster trust fund, so farmers impacted by the flooding this spring can begin to access the damage. As the author of legislation to close loopholes associated with farm payments, I expect the administration to also immediately look at the rules related to what we call actively engaged in farming, and also the definition of schemes and devices.
Grassley says current rules do not have strong guidelines as to how much labor or management is necessary for producers to, quote, actively engage in agriculture. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission is asking for public comment on a request by CME Group for governmental approval to clear over-the-counter grain swap contracts. Swaps, which are private, usually tailored to meet the needs of buyer and seller, have grown in popularity between large-scale producers and elevators seeking to avoid margin calls, but still obtain a hedge for bank financing. Economists at the American Farm Bureau Federation say flooding in Illinois has created losses of about $1.3 billion. The Farm Bureau estimates that about 330,000 acres of cropland were affected by wet weather and flooding. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, asking you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, Commodity Week, and a whole lot of other agricultural programming, including the numbers from this coming Friday's USDA reports, all right there at willag.org. Now up next, you know dairymen throughout the United States have had a very, very good year and a half, but as you'll hear in this report, the massive rainfall in the Midwest and the skyrocketing corn prices are tempering that good news. It has been a good year and a half for dairy farmers, says University of Illinois Extension dairy specialist Mike Hutchins.
Yes, the dairy industry has had a very good year, year and a half. And actually, even with these high-priced corn, our dairy industry is going to have some hope because milk prices are going to go up, much like some of the other livestock species. But boy, $7 corn just really drives the cost of producing milk at this stage of the game, because not only does it affect corn, it affects some of the corn byproducts like corn distillers and hominy, and it also affects corn sides. And those are really big staples here at Illinois. So the farmers are asking, well, what can we do to try to adjust and maybe minimize the corn?
Number two yellow corn, the kind grown in most farmers' fields, is used to feed dairy cows and livestock of all sorts. Its high price and the bad weather that has pushed it even higher are squeezing livestock industry profits. Even in the dairy sector, where the price of milk, you'll know this if you've been to the grocery store, is very high. It means one of two things must happen. Either dairymen will stop milking cows, or they'll start looking for alternative feedstuffs.
Well, suggestions we have, first of all, the golden rule, I say, we never give up milk. When milk is going to be at $20 the next month or two, and milk protein at $4 a pound, we never give up milk. And so we're having dairymen saying, well, corn is pretty expensive. I ran out of my contract. I'm going to have to buy some. You know, it should have been the same price if it was in their bin or if they had to buy it. So don't give up any milk.
Don't give up the milk, but do look for alternative feedstuffs. There are some pretty good ones in the state of Illinois.
Corn gluten feed, a very good choice. Now, certainly some of the starch has been taken out of it, so they or the nutritionists have to make those adjustments for it. If I've got corn silage on the farm, wow, that's a winner, because our corn silages in Illinois run 30, 34% starch. So obviously, if I can feed it from forage source rather than from a grain source, that's going to be a winner as well.
Now, the corn farmer at this point is thinking, but what about the DDGs, the distillers' dried grains, that are a byproduct of the local ethanol plant? Aren't those a good alternative too?
Distillers dry grain, good price. Right now, break even over $300 a ton. We're hearing prices around $180, $190. So far, dairy farmers, everybody should be feeding 5 or 6 pounds of dry distillers grains. If you're close to the plants, you can get the wet material. And wow, some neat research out of South Dakota says you mix one part wet distillers grains on a dry matter base, and believe it or not, two-thirds straw or corn silage, and your dairy heifers and dry cows will do very, very well with some additional minerals. minerals.
So the dairy farmer can feed a portion of his herd the byproducts of the local ethanol plant. Because the price of milk is expected to climb even higher this summer, it should be worth the effort. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Now, speaking of the local ethanol plant, the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi is tied to an ethanol plant, and Matt Blaisdell is with us this afternoon from that site in Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, let's start out, because it was probably 3 weeks ago when I talked with Mike Hutchins and produced that last piece. What kind of price do we have on a ton of distillers' dried grains today?
Right now, for a ton, it's $187. That's up a little bit, about $3 from last week.
Well, that's still pretty close to right on, and I suppose you sell to quite a few livestock producers, mostly cattle and dairymen, or do you get a hog producers too?
Mostly cattle and dairy, and then also a fair amount of our DDGs go to the export market.
You know, oftentimes, and I'll ask you this question, in recent months we have said that the ethanol producer is now seeing the byproducts as his primary, as one of his primary sources of income. Is that the case in Climbers?
Absolutely. I mean, depending on, you know, we try to keep it pretty close to 100% value of corn, and when we can do that, that's pretty integral into making this plant profitable.
Okay, now let's turn around and talk about the elevator that you have there. What have farmers been asking you as prices have dropped pretty dramatically in the last week?
You know, they've been asking us if this nice ride we've had for the last month or so is over yet. Some guys, especially around here, and I think over in Illinois, is about the same with your draw area there, that the crops are looking pretty good, and guys want to get a little more on the books here for new crop before, you know, if this does slip down to $5 or whatnot.
Are they holding out on their old crop sales for soybeans?
They are. It looks like the processor's pretty bought up for the month of July, but there's been some pretty erratic trades trading here for the month of August and first half September here before we get new crop on board.
Now, last time we talked, I think we talked a little bit about the carry in the market and how you might convince producers not to just sell over the scale and carry into January. Has that changed much in the last week?
Same thing. We did, and some of this has to be with the plant being bought up pretty well, but also to entice some more carriers, we did fade our harvest bid here into the ethanol plant and actually also into our elevator there in Delphi, and then kept our deferred months unchanged or maybe even brought them up a tick or two.
Now, what's the spread now?
Let's see here. It looks like to hold it into, the say, January, for example, that will get you rough math here, about 40 cents. Say into May, about 56 cents. And then let's go to the summer months, about 70 cents here into July, for example.
Okay. Thanks much, and we appreciate you being with us.
No problem, Todd. Thank you.
You too. Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Somebody from there joins us each and every Wednesday right here on the Closing Mark Report. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Sugar Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1766, Jacob Perkins was born. Perkins was issued the first U.S. patent for a refrigerating machine. It used sulfuric ether compression. In 1792, S.L. Mitchell was named as the first professor of agriculture at Columbia College in New York City. In 1808, Samuel Parker patented the leather splitting machine. In 1815, the first natural gas well in the U.S. was discovered by accident near Charleston, West Virginia, while digging salt brine wells. In 1869, Henry Tibby invented the corncob pipe. By the way, the pipe was made from a special type of white kernel corn that was used to make taco and tortilla flour. In 1894, Percy LeBaron Spencer was born. Spencer developed the microwave oven in 1946 after he noticed that some chocolate in his pocket had melted. Spencer deduced the candy melted not due to body heat, but rather exposure to radiation from a magnetron tube. And in 1996, Douglas Chapman died. A Canadian-born U.S. mathematical statistician, Chapman did extensive research on fish farming, and he developed quantitative methods aiding in the management of fisheries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Ooh, we had flashbacks and flash floods last night in my part of the world. Did the rest of the Midwest get as much rain?
Well, there were certainly pockets of heavy rainfall that occurred starting out as far to the west as south central Kansas, and then we saw a bunch of it in Missouri and western and central parts of Illinois, and some more of it up across northern Indiana and a little bit further to the east than that. So it wasn't just a generalized soaking, but you would think so in several counties that are grouped together in those areas I just mentioned. The bottom line is we're still playing games with this perfect scenario for crop development, more or less. And we do have some problems with excess moisture, obviously. But in the summertime, with temperatures running frequently in the 80s and getting a heavy rain event, it's not nearly as big of a problem potentially for crop development as it would be if we were stuck with cloudiness for days on end and cool weather as well. And I think we're seeing a fairly good mix right now. There are definitely some issues out there. I don't want to smooth it over too much, but I think from a crop development potential for the next couple of weeks, it's not a bad scenario. We're definitely going to have plenty of moisture around to support the reproductive corn. And the only exception to that will be in two pockets. One might be in the northwestern Corn Belt. That area up there is already somewhat dry. This would include parts of South Dakota and Minnesota in particular. Also down the Delta, we still have some pockets of dryness down there that are festering a little bit. We're going to see some shower and thunderstorm activity in both of these drier pocket areas, but I don't think the rains that result are going to be all that impressive, so those areas will probably keep their little biases for dryness for a little while longer. But as far as any kind of threatening weather for the majority of the Midwest, I don't think that that's coming right now for the next 10 days. The latest model outlook at midday today basically kept a high-pressure ridge mostly over the plains and the Rocky Mountain region, keeping the heart of the Midwest in a northwesterly flow pattern aloft, which will cater some cooler biased temperatures across the region periodically and also offer some periodic showers and thunderstorms. It is summertime, though, and net drying will occur in parts of the region, but we got so much subsoil moisture that there's not going to be any problems for a while.
Hard red winter wheat harvest is in full swing. Last week, they really moved despite the rainfall across portions of the United States. Can they continue the progress this week at a quick pace?
I think they can. The biggest issues in wheat country right now are really outside of the areas that have been harvesting most aggressively, which is Nebraska and northern Kansas. We did have some late crop down there, and the Texas panhandle has been kind of beat up by some of the rain here the last couple of days, but that's only a very small percentage of the crop, and by the time we get some kind of more meaningful rainfall to occur in Nebraska and northern Kansas, a big percentage of that crop is going to be gone out of the field. So I don't see any big issues for the winter crop. Now, spring wheat areas up there in Montana and western portions of North Dakota and spreading over the Canadian border into southernmost parts of the prairie up there, they are definitely dry, and they will stay that way for a while. Crop stress could end up hurting yield potentials there.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Please visit our website, where you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and weather right there on demand anytime you'd like. The address is willag.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.